Man, just what a privilege, again, just to stand before you and just to talk about Jesus and to just say, God, here we are. You know, praise the Lord that we can come here into this place and to this church, and we know that we're going to get good news. We're going to get good news. I mean, just sitting back and just listening to the testimonies tonight, man, it's good news. That's really what you're getting. For those of you that may be here for the first time or maybe not very, clear and just on really what's all of this about, but you felt, maybe I'll just come in tonight. But this is the good news of Jesus Christ, who has set us free and has given us life and life more abundantly in him and through him. He is our Savior. We're going to brag about him and talk about him. We won't stop. We're going to be back a few days later in here, and we're going to continue to talk about Jesus and our topic matter and our subject, and the central focus will never change. Will never change, because this person, Jesus Christ, has changed us. He's changed us. He's transformed our lives. It's all about Jesus. And I pray that those of you that may not have just a clear understanding of who he is, maybe you haven't received him tonight. Maybe you're doubtful or fearful. I don't know what you've experienced in your life, but I do pray that you already have experienced the presence and the power of Jesus just knocking on the door of your heart right now. That's what he does. That's the power of his presence. He just presses right into us. And there's a power that we can't deny. There's a power in Jesus that we can't escape. You know, we can't walk away from. It's a power that you feel. And I know you feel it tonight. Just hearing just the worship tonight, hearing songs tonight, hearing the testimonies tonight, it's been so clear and so evident that good news is pressing into your heart and pressing into your soul. And it will not let you go. And it wants to come in and it wants to invade your life, invade your heart, do a transformation, wipe out darkness, wipe out sin through the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to just share something just briefly with you. Just listen. This is just where God has had me just through the week. Just a revelation for me. Just for me, as I've been spending time just praying and just studying scripture. And maybe some of you have heard me say this before, but each day of my life, I want a bigger picture of who Jesus is. Right? If he's the one that can save us, give me a big picture, God. And just really give me the faith. Give me the eyes to see. And tonight, if you're still doubtful and still wondering, I pray that you would have a big picture of who Jesus is through this scripture. And it says here in Luke chapter 22, and this is a moment where Jesus comes to pray in this place called the Garden of Gethsemane, also known as the Mount of Olives. And in chapter 22 of Luke, beginning with verse 39, the scripture tells us, and he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he, talking about Jesus, he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, and saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In verse 43, it says, and there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And I just want to stop there, because this is really just has grabbed hold of my soul in this last week. And I really want you to understand just where Jesus was in this moment. Here he'd been ministering. His ministry had probably lasted about, you know, it was about 3 years that he'd been in ministry. He's about 33 years old, for those of you that may not know. But here Jesus had come on the earth to live amongst us, sent by his Father. I mean, here he is God, and he takes on flesh and he shows up on this earth for one purpose, one mission, to save you and I. And he comes and he lives this life 30 years. And for much of that time, he was a carpenter. He had a day job, 9 to 5. And I'm not sure if it stopped at 5, because I'm sure there was a lot of wood to be cut up, you know? Everything. Here he is, living a life like us. But when he turned 30, he moved into ministry. There was a shift. Now it was to move now. It was the closing time of what he was going to do to set you and I free from our sin. And so he spends 3 years in ministry, and he has a bunch of guys. It's a motley crew. They join him, and he calls them to himself, and a bunch of just young men, guys that just didn't have it all together, sinners, you know, like us, you and I, born in sin. And he's teaching them, and he's discipling them, and they're traveling with them, and Jesus is doing miracles, and he's healing people. I mean, this is what he was sent to do, to radically transform this world. To show up and to show out in all of his power and in all of his glory. But on this night, he comes into the Mount of Olives. He comes into the Garden of Gethsemane, as it's called. It's also known as the oil press, symbolically a representation of pressing in almost. And he comes into the garden to press in to his Father. The relationship that he had with the Father in heaven, it was a beautiful relationship. He was all about doing what the Father wanted him to do. If I give you a title of this message, it's The Father's Will. And he would come into this place. He spent many hours in the garden. He spent many hours in the Mount of Olives. Scripture reveals to us, as you would read, one of our sisters encouraged you, crack open the Bible. You'll find some amazing stuff. I love the way she said that. But I love going and reading about the times that Jesus would just, he would just get away from everybody and just walk. It'd be late hours at night that he would hang out with his daddy. I mean, you thought you and I, as New Yorkers, you thought we didn't sleep. Man, Jesus set the example from the beginning, 2,000 years ago. Except he was up to something totally different than many of us New Yorkers were doing late at night. Uh-huh. You know what Jesus was doing through the wee hours of the night? Listening to what his Father wanted him to do. Submitting to the will of his dad, pressing into his Father to know, to be on track, to know his mission, to be in one accord with his dad, to know the Father's will. And that night in the Mount of Olives, as the time was drawing close to come to this place where the mission was going to be very clear, Scripture reveals to us that he was troubled, that he was really shook up. There's one portion of Scripture where he actually tells three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, he says, watch with me. I'm troubled. He said, I'm overwhelmed. The feeling I have, it almost feels like I'm about to die. Jesus actually expressed it that way. He said, I feel like death is upon me. And Jesus doesn't say things just to exaggerate. When he says something, he means it. But in that moment of great agony, overwhelmed, he felt like he was about to die. And he comes and he goes out and he goes a little further and away from the disciples, and he sets himself before his Father, and he says something. He says, Father, if you're willing, because it has to be what you want, Dad. It has to be what you want, Father. If you're willing, because I only want to do what you want me to do. Remove this cup from me. I want to tell you what this cup represents and the expression of words that come from Jesus. This cup represented the cup of death that he was about to drink in just a few hours. He said, "If it's only in your will, is there another way possible for us to do what we're about to do?" What was that they were about to do? He was talking about the plan of salvation for you and I. He was talking about what was going to happen according to the will of the Father, which was going to be a rescue mission for you and I in the bondage of sin, stuck in our mess. In this moment, he says, Dad, is there another way? Because who he was is the Son of God. He could see. He had the foreknowledge of knowing what was ahead. He can see it. Because when he came on the earth, he was all flesh, he was all human, but he was all still God at the same time. So he was able to see ahead. He could see himself on the cross, dying, taking on our sin. It was overwhelming for him to recognize that for 33 years, he lived a life without sin. But yet he would go to the cross and die with our sin. Wow. He had the foreknowledge of seeing ahead that he was going to be arrested. And they were going to punch him in the face. And they were going to punch him. He had the foreknowledge. He could see ahead that they were going to tie the bandana around him. And they were going to laugh at him and joke on him and say, who's punching you now? As they would continue to punch him. He knew in the Mount of Olives, in the garden, that they were going to rip the cloak off his back. And they were going to beat him until his flesh was hanging off. And you could see the bones. He knew. He knew what was ahead. He knew what he had to do so that you and I could live. He knew what was ahead so that you and I could be set free from sin. But he would not walk away from the plan. It was not a cry of fear. It was a cry just saying, oh God, I know what's ahead, but your will be done. Because it was the Father's will that you and I would be saved from sin. He was committed to the Father's will that you and I would be reconciled back unto Daddy. That we would be restored. That we would be redeemed. He said, it's your will. I want to do exactly what you want me to do, Daddy, because just as much as you love them, I love them too. I love them too. I love them. I know your heart, Father. Your will be done. And the will of the Father is that you and I today would not walk out of here the same, but we would know, we would have this big picture of knowing that Jesus went to the cross. And he took on the death that you and I deserved. And in this agony, in this moment, overwhelmed by it all, but still poised in obedience to his Father. Unwavering from the plan, because the love of God never wavers. The love of God never shifts. There's no change in plans. We've got to press through, son. And here his son in the Mount of Olives. Scripture tells us, as I look at this, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. What an example we find in Jesus Christ. We've been talking about prayer, church. Oh, but this great example that even in great agony, he prayed even earnestly. There became a greater urgency for our souls. There became a greater urgency for transformation in the lives of men and women, that we would be changed forever. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Scripture and its absolute truth gives us a revelation and a picture here that in this moment of prayer, as he cries out before God, as he says, Father, your will be done. I'll drink the cup. That in that moment of agony, that his sweat was like blood, that it was not even simply just trickling down his forehead, but it was like sweats of blood that were just dropping to the ground. It was this moment of great agony. And this is why he told the disciples, I feel like I'm about to die in this moment. Hallelujah. But there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. The Lord just really pressed on my heart to really dig deep and understand and have this picture. And you guys, some of you know, I love to really have a clear picture. But this is, you've got to understand that if Jesus knew in this moment that this agony that he felt was going to bring him to a place where it almost felt like he would die, well, God intervened in that moment to strengthen him. So he sends an angel to strengthen him. But when he sends that angel to strengthen him, I realized something, that moment was on our behalf. Because in the Mount of Olives, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was not the place that Jesus was to die. He couldn't die there. So God sends his son on our, he sends the angel to his son on our behalf because it wasn't yet time to die. The plan has to go forward. I've got to get my son to the cross so that you and you and you can be saved by my grace and glory. Oh, God. He sends an angel. I won't let my son die right here. We've got to keep going. I know the agony is great, but I'm going to strengthen him now so he can get to the cross. Because it's not here where he has to die. If he dies here, then the plan is not fulfilled, that you and I would be reconciled to the Father. It wouldn't have happened. And he's strengthened. Hallelujah. And Jesus goes to the cross. And he dies the death that we deserve. And offers us life in and through him. And then then the blood that was shed on Calvary, that blood that washes us clean. His blood is sacrifice for our sin, setting us free from the bondage of sin, that we might know the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. The mission is complete. Salvation has gone forth. The plan of God is fulfilled through his son, Jesus Christ. And you and I can receive him tonight as our Savior. Hallelujah. The Father's will is all about his son, Jesus Christ, offering you and I life through the finished work on the cross. Glory to God. Worship team, could you come? Hallelujah. I'm humbled. I don't deserve this good news. Oh, but that moment that while you and I, while we were yet sinners, Christ would die for us. Give us a bigger picture. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die in my place, to set me free from sin. God, give us a heart of repentance tonight. Bring us to your cross, oh God, that we would know your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord. Now, God, stir the hearts of your people tonight. I sense your presence, Holy Spirit. Move on those, Lord, that are still lost, that they would know a Savior that loves them and desires to set them free tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to open up this altar tonight. I want to open up this altar tonight. We want to invite you to come forward. Those of you, if you want to be free, free in the name of Jesus. If you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe at one time you felt like you knew this good news. You understood it. But you've strayed away. You've fallen away from just this cross of Jesus Christ that you've heard expressed tonight. But he wants to welcome you back. Tonight, he wants to be your Savior. He wants to set you free. We're going to open up this altar, and this is going to be just a move of God right here that's going to happen right here for you. I don't know what you've got scheduled for the rest of your night, but it's now time for the power of God's Spirit to do a work in your heart. And you come receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Can we stand up together? Praise God. You come now. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Will you pray this prayer with me? Hallelujah. Dear Jesus, we come before you this evening. We receive you as our Savior. I confess my sin to you. And I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me, to make me whole again. I believe you are the Son of God who came and died for me on the cross. And you rose again on the third day. I believe in you. Make me a new creature. Help me now, Lord, to walk in your strength. I want to come alive in you. Thank you for being a sacrifice for me. Thank you, Jesus. I commit my life to you. Thank you for your grace and your love for me. When I didn't even deserve it, you gave me your love. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Just make room. There's still some more people coming. God bless you. I'm going to ask everybody in the sanctuary, if you'd just be seated for a moment, please. And I want you to pray. Just put your hands out and pray for these who have come to the altar tonight. Just out loud, just start to pray. And for those that are at the altar here tonight at the front, you try to talk to God in your own words. Just as if you're talking to me or your friend. Just talk to God. Go ahead and let God talk to you tonight. You don't have to pray any other way, but just talk to him. You can say things like, God, Jesus, thank you for loving me, for wanting me. Thank you for needing me. Thank you, God, for having a plan for my life and giving me the strength to turn away from things that are wrong and to turn to things that are right. Thank you for speaking to my heart. We do lift these up before you, Lord, tonight. These precious men and women, God. We ask you, Father, to hear our prayer tonight and seal this work in their hearts, Lord. God, don't let anything come to take it away. Don't let them walk out of here and say, well, that was just an experience, but it won't last. Oh God, I thank you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that each of these that have come would receive your Holy Spirit. For God, only you can give us the strength to live again. Only you can give us the strength to turn away from wrong and turn to right. Only you, Lord, have the plan for our lives. Oh, we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid to talk to God. Just don't be afraid. If you feel like crying, just go ahead and cry. It doesn't matter. It's an amazing thing when you realize how much God loves you. It's amazing when you realize he died because he cares. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.